Welcome everyone to this week's weekly market update, July 24th, about an hour pre-equity market close with myself and Carl. How are you?
I am doing just swell today, Scott. Yourself?
Doing well. So let's dive straight into the equity markets. And on the S&P, since last podcast, we're up about 1.5%. It's been, we've talked about how it's been sort of a slow, methodical grind higher, which is quite nice, I will say. It's definitely nice to have a lack of volatility. Speaking of the NASDAQ and the Dow, by the way, and Russell, all pretty much the same in terms of last Thursday to today, all right around that 1.5% area, and all very much that slow, methodical grind higher. So it's what you like to see. And I think we're actually going into next week going to very much see something similar, if not even more kind of flatlined, very much a holding pattern. And the reason for that is there is so many economic releases next week in particular, some very, very important, but just in quantity, a lot of them. And so that's probably a good time to jump over into Carl's corner to go over what a few of those are.
So when we look at the probabilities like we do every single week, nothing has changed in the probabilities department. It's still pretty much no chance of a rate cut in next Wednesday. Still a 60% chance of a rate cut of at least 25 basis points in September. And I know we're all reading the news and seeing what's going on out there and the tremendous pressure being put on the Fed to cut rates. And now we have the internals. Looks like there could be the governors is what they're called, are flipping against Powell to try to push it down in July. So that would be next Wednesday. And we are still firm believers that it's going to wait at least until September. And I think that it's probably for the best, and because we're now slowly getting tariff numbers, which will help with the inflation understanding, which is exactly what we have been discussing for weeks, is that we don't want to cut too fast and then have to do a reversal, because that would be so detrimental to the market, as opposed to waiting an extra meeting or two, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So that's what we have currently on the front, on the probability side. Now, like Scott said, next Wednesday in particular, we got two absolutely massive market moving, economic moving days, because we have the GDP, the gross domestic product. Those numbers are coming out. We didn't talk about it a lot then, but it was negative last time. It was negative last quarter. So all possibilities and everything that we're looking at right now looks like it's going to be a positive GDP. If it's a positive GDP, then everything should be going really well, because that means the Fed is more than likely going to cut the rate in September, because GDP's up, inflation's down, and everything they want to be able to do to cut the rate is going to be there, except for the glaring tariff, and then maybe they're willing to do that quarter basis cut. But those are the two biggest ones. Those are happening Wednesday. The GDP is Wednesday morning, and the federal fund rate comes out at 1 p.m. So they're going to be able to see these GDP numbers if they don't know them already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm certain they do. And we also on Thursday have core PCE month over month, which is pretty significant as well. There's just a lot of significant economic releases, all of which, to your point, is going to very much influence what the Fed does, more than likely, to your point, also September or maybe even October, if September does not come to fruition.
And to add another wrinkle, sorry for cutting you off, Scott, to add another part to next week is we have two mega caps with earnings on Wednesday. Meta and Microsoft both reveal their earnings Wednesday after market, including also Robinhood, who is on the fringe of joining the S&P in their next meeting in September. And so you're looking at Wednesday. Monday, Tuesday is probably going to be that slow grind that Scott was talking about. Wednesday, you're probably going to see volatility leading into Thursday. So just be aware of that. We have earnings, GDP, and a federal fund meeting.
Yeah, and it wouldn't surprise me, just given the nature of these particular releases And good point about the earnings releases, which, by the way, both of which are both Meta and Microsoft are to a degree pretty interest rate sensitive. So that kind of plays into the whole thing as well. But then, of course, we have the, like I said, the PCE on Thursday, and then we also have a particular non-farm on Friday, non-farm employment. And so when you say volatility, well, you know what, and I've seen this in the past multiple times. It wouldn't surprise me to see volatility in both directions to end up, like, I'm gonna make a bold prediction here. I bet we see volatility in both directions to end up exactly where we started Wednesday morning. And we'll see how close to right that is, but that would not surprise me one bit. You know, to cover a lot of ground to get nowhere type of thing.
Absolutely, because on Thursday there's also Apple and Amazon, and Apple has been getting hit pretty hard with the China tariff talks, and so it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen Wednesday earnings, Thursday earnings to couple with those two reports. And I agree with you. I think we're going to see it's going to go probably in both directions just to end somewhere around the Wednesday open.
Right. And that would be okay, actually. Get kind of shake out a lot of both the what's considered the longs and the shorts. And then that could pave a way for continued, whether it be slow grind higher, slow grind lower, whatever, just subdued volatility, which I think is a good thing right now, especially as we head into, particularly heading into August and September, which tend to be a little bit, I guess, sideways to lower would be the way to put it, seasonally and statistically. Tend to see a little bit of a pullback in August and September, and so that is probably a good segue into our discussions of, I would say, mildly rebalancing the portfolios and switching out some names for others and getting some involvement in certain sectors that seasonally do better, not just during August and September, but also going into the end of the third quarter and beginning of the fourth quarter and into the end of the year. So we've got some really good things on the table for the portfolios themselves. But just again, to rehash the statistics, we think that this will be a good opportunity to do so. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. And that's the one thing that we at Safe Harbor like to do is quarterly rebalances, making sure we get the right names where we want to put them. And, no stock, no individual stock, no market just goes up 100% of the time. They have seasonal aspects, they need rebalancing. You don't ever want to get too heavy. And I think this is the perfect time with we dripped the cash back in April, May, June before we did the big rebalance. And now we're into the third quarter, do just another rebound to prepare for the Santa Claus rally, the fourth quarter push that statistically happens.
Yeah, it's always, especially if it's one of what I think will be, due to the placement of the Fed meets in September and October. I actually think it'll be a very, again, subdued volatility landscape, which is always a much more attractive time to make rebalancing moves, as opposed to when you have, indices just winging around all over the place. So I actually feel very good about the next couple of months in terms of having that favorable environment to make the changes that we want to make. So with that being said, I think we'll continue to expound on that, by the way. We'll continue to expound on the specifics as to the different areas we're coming out of, different areas we want to go into, and why. And but we're going to continue to do that as we progress through any sort of interest rate changes, as well as the statements that come out, right? We've talked about that. Obviously, a rate adjustment is very important. We've talked about, though, what's more important is the statement that follows 30 minutes later. And what's even more important than that is then when the different governors come out and speak about what the closed door meeting, what the notes behind that, the minutes, what they call it, behind that, what those entailed, and what you said early on, how many dissenters were there? If they make no rate change, which they probably won't, But how many of the Fed governors dissented against that? They wanted, in other words, they wanted a rate reduction. That's very telling too. So all of these things are important to kind of guide us through next week, but also from next week to the September and even October meets. And so that, again, that's kind of my idea of why I think there will be subdued volatility going into that September meet, which is a great opportunity to make revisions to the portfolio. So anyways, with that being said, Carl, did you have anything else?
No, I think we covered a lot of great information today. Listeners, be on the lookout for next week. We're probably gonna have a pretty in-depth one with the Fed as well as the GDP information coming out as well as earnings. So next week's gonna be a very informative podcast. But if you think anyone else might enjoy our market commentary, feel free to forward us on over to them. We're also on the iHeartRadio app and the Podbean radio app.
Yep, that's awesome. I appreciate that. And with that being said, we are going to go ahead and wish everyone a happy upcoming Friday and weekend. And we're going to go ahead and look forward to doing this again next week.